or if a chain is unstamped, you know, you treat it as the lowest strength. And they give you a list of chains and stuff like that right on the test. So basically, you're not going to fail the chain portion of it. You just got to match it to what's in the question. And it shows you how much of the load can go forward, how much of the load to the rear of the truck, to the sides of the truck. And like HCB said, how to secure it to the truck, like either through the center of the coils or front to back, and how to chalk it. It's really not a bad test. It's pretty easy. I think it's $5. It's a written test. It's pretty quick.
Okay, Greg. Yeah, well, the test has been out since 2003. Maybe that 2005 is when you had your license renewal. But that's, in other words, it didn't come into play until you have to renew your CDL. And mine is up now. So I must have just missed it on my last renewal. But it's, what are they good for, 8 years? I guess that was like 2000 I had my license renewed. And now 2001, I guess. 2009, it's time to renew. And that's why they send it in. So, if you have, it's been in effect since, according to the card I got, since 2003. And as you go renewing, everybody goes renewing, then they want you to have that endorsement. And, I carry the cables too and stuff, and wire pulling rigs, you can put as much as I had, as much as, 8,000 four times. Yeah, about 8,000 or 9,000, 8,000 and change per reel on lead covered, and that's four times. So, you know, you're talking quite a bit just on the load. But this was actually not on the, it's actually on a whiteboard, right? So it's set up for that. You got the bar pinned in, and that wasn't so bad. But I guess maybe they had a few accidents. They want people to have them. Interesting. But now I can't do it through the mail. Now I got to go down. That's the problem. John, over to A2QL on Bushwick Avenue.
Hey, W2HCB. Heading into the BQE combo here. Got around the brick wall of lights. So, determining my course of action here. I'll see what the ramp's backed up for the BQE. And is it moving or not? Okay, I can get a good look at the eyeball on the bridge here. Decide what I'm going to do. And heck with it. I'm tunnel bound. I'm looking at the bridge. It's a so-so move up there, so, and the ramp is building up underneath. So that's it for me. I'll be heading into the tunnel. Anyway. Yeah, great. You probably didn't see that, since I'm pretty saying I've had similar stuff happen with other stuff. But, yeah, it's nice to know. Simple written test, $5, you're out the door. Just when you go to motor vehicle, you'll probably get some moron and go, what are you, what task? What are you talking about? Anyway, alright, Gregor. Over to you. By the time it gets to me, I'll be in the tube. So, 73 guys, I'll catch you later. W2HCB Mobile.
Going in the canal. He's going through the tube. Yeah, the, you know what? We all had to take that test. Unless you previously had it on your license before, but I don't remember anything about metal coils on my original license. And, I have a Class A, maybe that's why. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I had to take the test, a written test. And it I think it only became mandatory, maybe. Because it was weird. We just got a letter in, you know, like, not to my house. It came to the shop that I work, that CDL drivers have to have this metal coil endorsement, you know, to drive your vehicles or whatever it was. They got the letter somehow. So, that's when we all went down there, or the people that were concerned about it went down there and did it. half of them didn't do it. I did it. And that's what that was. But I remember I had to take it. It wasn't because I came up for renewal. It was like added on.
No, 7-3, John. Oh, really? Yeah, I never got any notice. The first I'm hearing about. And it came in with my renewal on there. And I have an A also. Content for, I can't even remember, 25 years, 30 years. I've had the Class A. So, I had it when they were calling it a Class 1, remember that? Call it a Class 1, now you have, let me see, you go Class A, and then they break it, that's weight, and they say it's, they give you the endorsement, I believe. But I had the hazmat, and just went not using it, then you have to, if you don't use it for 2 years, your employer does not, I guess, renew. Then it comes off. And then for some reason, if you start again with any hazardous material, then you just go back and get the endorsement put on again. But this is the first one with metal foil and stuff. I never heard of that. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. Something, though, I guess they charge something else. So this government can charge you on it, tax you on it, and throw a fee on you.
Yeah, it figures. You know, the endorsement, well, I had originally, I never had a Class 1. I just went when they, I forgot when it was. I had a Class, I guess it was a Class 3? I forgot. It was whatever a B would have been. And I think it was called a Class 3. And I didn't get grandfathered in like everyone else did. I missed that whole thing, so I had to retake it. And I said, the heck with this. I rented a tractor trailer. And I went down there with a rented truck and took the A. My endorsements say NTPXK, and then the M is at the end. I don't even know what they all mean. But they've always stayed there. I never really had to renew anything. I'm not sure. The K might be interstate, which I never do. I'm not exactly sure what they all mean. And the N is passenger. That's all I know.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. Same thing. I have two endorsements. K is interstate. Restrictions in endorsements. And they'll say if you put it in with your employer. Some of them say if you put them in with your employer and he has the, like let's say for hazardous material, if you're transporting hazardous material and he has a license to transport it, then you're okay. No problem. If you transport that and he puts down that you're regularly transporting it, that's okay. If you don't do it for 2 years, I guess they want to make sure you're current with all the laws and everything. They want to give you this thing and then you forget, you start driving, you have it, whatever. So, I guess that's the reason. Uh-oh. Okay. Alright, let's see here. Let me see where I'm at here. I'm almost where I gotta be. But I was looking through. I hope they don't send me. I went through the yellow. There was a flash. That's not a good thing. I hope I can go through the red light.
What intersection was it at?
Oh, that's definitely a camera. Definitely a camera in Eastern Parkway. But the, I saw the flash. It's still a little dark out. Not exactly sure. Usually I don't get that close. This one's pretty close.
That really stinks. You're probably going to get a ticket in it. Well, it doesn't go on your license because they can't really prove who the driver was. So it doesn't go on your license, but you'd have to pay the ticket. That sucks because you probably did. If you saw a flash, unless someone went through it the other way at the same time, you know, and you happen to see that flash, that stinks. Try to think, was there someone going the other way?
Oh, yeah, there was actually somebody right next to me and somebody the other way. Yeah, there was still traffic. That's why when I seen it, I was a little surprised. I usually don't go through it for that reason, especially out here. I don't like to get those beautiful pictures for, what is it, 40, 50 bucks. And yeah, they don't put on your license, but still. You get a nice little 3x5 picture of you and your vehicle for $45 or $55, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, I know, but I'd rather have that than a real, than the thing that goes on your license and then your insurance goes up and everything else. You know, and so, and I think if it's a real ticket, for some reason, I think the fine would be higher. For some reason. I don't know, I just think it would.
Oh yeah, you put a red light, it's way more. It's over $100. More violations, I don't think there's anything that's less. Get you for everything. Everything. So, where you headed today?
I go into Roosevelt, not Roosevelt. It's very confusing, that little stupid town. Right near Peninsula Boulevard. I gotta go there, pick up a truck, and then from there, I don't know where I'll be working. I'm not even sure. I don't know. I may be in Long Beach. I may be, you know, it's all over the place, so I don't know. You know, it's funny, talking about tickets. I got a ticket in my car for having no insurance, which I couldn't believe, and the cop came back. I'm like, I gave you the insurance card. And he goes, it's expired. And I'm like, it's not, look. And I showed it to him. He said, he flipped it over. He said, look at that. He goes, you know, I must have misread it, but I wrote the ticket already. Just mail it in. He hands me this stupid thing. I couldn't believe it when I have insurance. So I take the extra insurance card I have at home. I mail it in the envelope to the court thing. And they send back that we will not take an insurance card. We need a letter from the insurance company stating this and that. And on this day, you are current, effective and current in full force. All this crap. I did that. And they said we don't accept faxes because I had them fax it over to my house. And then I took it from there. And then so then I had to call the insurance company. They had to mail me one. So I sent them that. And they said, they sent all of it back and they said, we require a $15 check to run this thing to decide if you're innocent. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, not too long before that, I was in court for being on an Xtel phone, which I actually won in court. But the kid in front of me had 7 no insurance tickets, this Mexican kid. And he said, no my car, man. No my car. And they said, in the eyes of justice, we have to let you go. 7 in a row, you know, I mean, no insurance tickets, and they let him go, and me, who has insurance, I got to go through all this crap. Now, after they cashed my check and everything else, I get a letter that I have to appear in court on April 9th, or 6th, whatever day it was. I forgot what day it was. I think it was the 6th. I didn't go. I'm not going. I'm done with this deal. Let them put a warrant out for my arrest after they cashed my check and everything else. They want me to go to court and lose a day of pay? Forget it. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's probably a warrant out for my arrest.
Yeah, they'll grab you. No insurance, lapse of insurance, whatever the reason is, they'll grab you and they catch you in New York City. They will arrest you, impound the car, and their fault or your fault, it doesn't matter. You spend some time in jail or in the house anyway. And they'll tow your car, you have to pay for yourself. Their fault or your fault. Make a difference. So, I would have just said, I don't care if you made a mistake, you get this thing off, you take it off. And you gave the ticket to the wrong person. You do whatever you gotta do. That ticket, I would not have accepted that ticket. Just mail it in. I said, you just do what you have to do. I'm not taking that ticket. So, and I would have had it, I would take down his badge number and everything. If you accept the ticket. Did they, let's say, when he pulled you over, did you have to sign on the ticket? Did you have to sign his copy?
No. Nope. Just handed it to me. But I was amazed that I didn't even care that he gave me this stupid thing. I figured I'd just mail it in. That's the way it used to be years ago. I'm just really aggravated because I had insurance. That's what really gets me mad. The card I showed him was current. And I just couldn't believe, like, if he would have walked up to the car and said, You know what? You handed me last year's one by mistake. Because, you know, a lot of people, I keep my old one in the glove compartment, too. I might have seven of them stupid things in there. You know, they seem to come in every 6 months or so. And I just keep throwing them in. I never take the old ones out. If you would have said, you know, you might have handed me an old one, I would have looked. Said, no, are you sure? I would have looked at his and saw it was current. But he didn't even come up like that. I've had that happen before where I actually did hand the one that was expired. But this time I didn't. I'm mad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I can understand. That's not his fault if you gave him the old, but, you know, if you gave him a current one. Then no, you can't. They can give it to them. In that case, they can give it to anybody. So, my mistake, you take care of it. I'm where I gotta be. I'm parked, so. Greg, I'll say 73. S2ASS. This is AA2QL. 73. Enjoy your day. Work safe. Catch you on a return trip. I'll be listening out for you a while.
KC, TJC.
Really, really sick. Like, really sick since, like, Tuesday. Bad, and I'm just kind of getting over it, but I'm going to work. I can't afford to stay home. All right, you have a great day, and I'll catch you later. And to Alpha Sierra Sierra.
JC, to TJC.
JC, you're a handsome dog. What are you up to?
I was just listening to you guys, QSO. I didn't want to interrupt. And, now my kid's sick. When I just slightly got better. Now he has a fever. He stayed with us all night, kicking and thrashing and hitting me in the head and all sorts of nice stuff. So I'm up since 2. It's always good.
Funny how they're so rough in bed. It's funny when you said kicking me in the head. My guy turns sideways and he will kick you where it'll actually hurt. It's funny you said that. My other guy, I feel bad, because he was at my parents' all week, so I didn't want him to get sick, and they had no school. It worked out good. I was sick, let him go there, so he went there, and it turned out the day I picked him up, he came home that night, 102 fever. Later on that night, 102.5, and we got him on Motrin and all that stuff. Last night, I brought him back to my parents, and, I brought him back there, and we took his temperature. He felt kind of warm, 104. I mean, we couldn't believe it, so they're probably going to, you know, if it stays like that. I mean, that was sick, and he's 10 years old. You don't get 104 at 10 years old. That was crazy.
Well, hopefully everything works out on that one. No, mine, we went to church yesterday for Easter, and then he came back with the grandparents. He took a long nap, he woke up and he just wasn't himself. He just was not himself. And then the night when we came back, I felt his forehead. He was a little warm. My wife took his temperature and he was running 100. So right away we gave him the Tylenol. Oh, Motrin. I think Tylenol. And we let it go like that. And my wife got up throughout the night and saw if he was sleeping. I mean, saw if the temperature was rising. But it was pretty steady, 100. So at around 2 o'clock, she got up to drink, to eat. And he got up. So, yeah. It's been a boxing match ever since. And he does hit. He hits always where it hurts, for some reason. And he took all my covers, to boot. Over to you, Greg.
It is funny how they swing around. I guess, I don't know why it always ends up hitting you in the head and everything. I think maybe it's because, like, we sleep sometimes with our arms above us. Maybe that's what happens, and they just swing around and it lands right on your face. It always seems to be that way. It's hard not to get mad, you know? Like, you end up shoving them away or something. But, yeah, I hope everything works out with that. If his temperature seems to climb, remember, you could switch off Tylenol to Motrin back and forth. They say it's more effective that way as a temperature breaker. I don't know why, but like to alternate them.
Well, that one I haven't heard before, but I'll definitely keep that in mind. I definitely have in my mind what you said about yours, with the seizures and all. So that's why, you know, I didn't even contemplate if his temperature was started. I didn't even wait if it's going to rise or not. Right away, boom, Tylenol, you know? Let's keep it at 104 or make it go lower. And I think that's what helped, because he hasn't gotten any, it hasn't gotten any higher. It's been pretty much at 100.4. So we'll see. And, yeah, that's it. Hopefully he'll get better by tomorrow. My wife took off today, and I'm pretty much, I have the days, but I'm pretty much running low on them now, you know? Right? KC2TJC for ID.
Yeah, we don't get paid sick days. So, that's that's that. So that's why I don't stay home. Usually even when I'm sick. You know, that first day, I was sick, I went to work. And it got extremely worse. Usually that doesn't happen. And I got bad, I had to stay home.
Yeah, well you gotta stay home, you just gotta stay home, you know? So, I discovered that I can't transmit on the 440. I wonder how I was able to talk to you on the 440, but I can't talk to anyone else. At least that's what happened this weekend. Because I was trying to figure out why I can't switch it to the Las Vegas reflector when I got known good numbers that you gave me and that you have used. But for some reason, they have an error. I might have an error on the PL tone or something. I'm not sure.
I think there's a volume, a PL volume in the radio that makes it louder or lower, but you know what? Mine gives me trouble too. I've had a lot of trouble. I've connected, and I couldn't disconnect. I tried and tried and tried and tried, and I gave up. So, you know, maybe it's just our radios have a funny tone. You know, I seem to be able to get it pretty quickly, but sometimes I can't. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but whereas before, I could talk to you on the 440, and I know that I talked to someone else. I think, what was his, UPS came on at the same time, and I was able to talk to you and UPS, but over this weekend, no one could hear me on that channel. So, I haven't made any changes to it. I don't know why it all of a sudden stopped, unless when I sent out more programming, I disturbed something in that, on that frequency setup. That's the only explanation I could have on that.
Well, look and see if it says ENCODE, you know, ENC, when you're on that side. And hopefully it's the same channel you had it in. If you want, when you flip over, I can go to it now if you want to try it. But if you go there and you hear me but you can't talk back, hit the middle button in your radio and bring it to 41, which is the frequency tone, and make sure it's whatever that is. I think it's 136.5. I think. I got to look at it. And I can tell you what it is as soon as I go over there. And you can put that in and then go up to 42, which is one turn of that top number knob there, and put in, make sure it's on ENC or tone on, you know. And your tone might have just turned off for some reason.
What middle button? Let me see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the dead center button, and then I have 1, 2, 3, 4 again. So what middle button are you talking about?
The center button. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the center. You hit the center one. Actually, you could do it right now while I'm talking to you. Press that thing, and it's going to tell you something. If you press that middle button, the screen will change. and you could turn, while I'm talking, you could do it, and you could turn the knob on the top, or you could even hit the up-down arrow, I mean the up-down on the top of your microphone, and move that little display, and until it says 41, and it'll say 41 in the corner, and tone frequency, or something like that, T frequency, or maybe tone F, and then you press that, the button above your volume knob there on that side of the radio, and you'll see a number come up, like it should be, I think, 136, on this one it should say like 136.5.
Alright, so I wish I could do that, but as soon as I take my eyes off the road, I'm in somebody else's lane, so I'm going to have to wait till I'm on the northern state, so yeah, I can't look. No way.
If you want to try the 440, whatever, the 125 thing, we'll call that the 125 machine, I guess. If you want to try it, you can go there now. I'll see if I can hear you. And, after whatever, 30 seconds, if we can't get back to each other, just come back here.
All right, KC to PJC, N2 ASS, I'm going to clear and I'm going to find you on the other side. KC to TJC.
Okay, I flipped back to you. I just switched to the 850 machine. You know, I didn't realize I was still on the 375. I'm pretty far west for being on that thing. So I flipped over. When you stop, go over to that side of the radio and see what's going on with that thing. Like I said, that middle button, and you can turn the dial to 40, which is tone F. Bring it to 136.5, press the button again, and turn it once more time to number 41, and that'll be tone M, I think it says. Press the button, and you want it to be like on ENC. In fact, it should say it. If you look at the left of your, to the right of your radio, it should say, 449.125. Above that should have the channel number, and it should say like ENC. Right past the channel that you have it in. If it doesn't, that's what your problem is. It's off.
Okay, that I could see. And it's on. So maybe the PL tone is off somehow. Maybe it got changed by accident. Greg?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Well, what happened to me when I was first learning how to program the radio, which I still haven't done yet, believe it or not, I put this, like the frequency we're on, I put this in like 7 different spots trying to program it, and only like 2 of them work, the rest of them don't. It's possible maybe you have that programmed somewhere else in your radio where you have the wrong PL tone and you memorized it in there. So it appears that you're on the right spot, but it's not the one you normally use. Could be. I mean, that's what I did, unless you only have it in one spot. T2OLA.
K2OA, recognized. No, I have the same, I sent you that worksheet of all the programming that I have. And I have channels 1 through 20 on both sides of the radio are exactly the same. And I did try both sides of the radio, and I couldn't communicate on the 440 on both sides. So there's something, it worked before. So it must be that I uploaded, or rather, when I uploaded new frequencies, I must have done something to that, to my channels 1 through 20. Not sure. N2OA, I think it is. KC2TJC.
Good morning, JC. Good morning, Greg. This is KC2OLA. Ola. For the short version, looks like we're going to have a nice day out there, and I hear that you have some radio difficulty. Sounds as if the PL is off. Greg, over to you, KC2OLA.
Yeah, that's exactly what his problem is. You know, because it says ENC on it, so he's got the tone going in.
So it's just the wrong tone, that's all. It's probably, you know, one, like, usually if you leave the radio alone, it'll be at 100. That's probably what it's set at, you know, something like that. You know, I always wondered how that would, actually, if I listened to them on the input frequency, I guess I would hear them, probably, if I listened over there.
I don't think I'd, you know what, well, now that I'm thinking about it, I also have another question. I have a lot of coax cable that's used for cable TV. Can I cheat and use that for about a 75-foot run for a homebrew ground plane antenna? I don't know what the losses would be on that. It's not the cheap coax cable. It's the coax cable you get from Cablevision, you know, when the guy comes with the truck. It's that thick white cable, which is not as cheap as the stuff you would get from Radio Shack or Home Depot, let's say. OLA, over to you.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a wise choice on, you know, Cablevision's cable for a transmitting lead for a homebrew. I think you're definitely going to be doing a disservice to your radio unless you have a great antenna tuner and that you can dissipate some of the wattage going out, but I just don't think that would be a good item unless you have everything matched up the right way. Only an opinion, and I guess we all have one, but I definitely think that you have one of those little switches are off on your radio, otherwise you would be coming through. I don't know how close you two guys are, but if you're both in Western Nassau, you could be able to hear it. Greg, you're right. You could hear him on the input. Over to you, Greg, KC2OLA. You're right on the coax choice. You don't use it, and it is because it won't match. And the reason it won't match, if you ever look at anything for ham radio or even CB equipment, everything is rated at 50 ohms. So your antenna is set at 50 ohms, even though you're making it yourself. That's what the ideal setting is. Dummy loads are 50 ohms, meat is at 50 ohms, everything is 50 ohms. The coax cable that you buy from Cablevision or what they give you is either 75 ohms or 300 ohms. It will not match at all. And so you can't have that. It's interesting. Coax is set up, it's a sensor conductor with a dielectric. It's almost built like a long capacitor in a way. It's a sensor conductor with a dielectric between the shield. It's very interesting how it works. So, you have to use the right stuff. I would get RG8U is what I would get. Not even the little stuff at Radio Shack. I would get the thick stuff. And I think that's rated at a 0.66. I forgot. I don't remember all the numbers on it. But I think it's 0.66. But, yeah, you have to match it, 50 ohms. And don't be cheap about it. Go buy the right cable. Maybe you'll end up spending $30 or $20. But yeah, don't even chance it with the other stuff.
All right. It's rated 75 ohm, I believe. And I was wondering what I would use to match it, but I guess it's not worth the effort. I just have so much of it, and it looks the same. But it's certainly not the same, that I know. I was wondering if I could cheat, and what would be the consequences of cheating. But alas, I will not cheat. I don't know what to do with the cable, but I will not cheat. I don't need that much. I have a R&L electronics catalog, and I was looking at it last night. I think it's 58 cents a foot. Or 56 cents a foot, something like that, for the cable you described. But it comes in different thicknesses, and I'm sure that's you have to apply the length of how much you want over the thickness to get the best match for the price anyway. So, Ole, over to you, KC to TJC.
Yeah, I think that the ramifications of using the wrong coax is possible damage to your radio. Because your radio is trying to get rid of that power, and if it's not going anywhere, that reflective power is coming back, and it just does a lot of bad things. You know, all radios have magic smoke, but when you see that magic smoke, it's magically over. Greg, KC2LLA.
Yeah, he's right. It would result in definitely heating up your radio to the point where you could burn out your finals, which wouldn't be good. Then you'd have no output. That wouldn't be good. So he's right. It would definitely be a heating effect, for sure. And a definite mismatch, and a definite loss of power, you know, because it comes back into your radio. But, yeah, get the right stuff. 58 cents a foot, I got to pick up some of that stuff, too. I have a few rolls of, like, 50-foot pieces, but I've been piecing them together. I don't want to do that. I'm going to have to go get some nice 100-foot stuff.
How much you want to get rid of the 50-foot piece? I think that would be all I need. So if I could get one continuous piece of 50-footer, then it would work out. And yeah, they're about 58 to 63 cents a foot. And they're by an antenna company that I have used. I think it's called Jetstream. And you could find that on R&L Electronics. So all you have to do is do a Google, or I'll just send you the link later. And then you could browse through there. Actually, order yourself a catalog. It's a good reference. They send you a black and white catalog, and you could go through all that they have. And yeah, that's pretty much it. They have a lot of stuff. I think that's the low end cable as far as expense, because a couple of pages before that they have higher end cable, so you may want to go with the better stuff for less loss if you're going to run that long of a run. Ole, over to you.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's the best way to go. I would do anything in my power to make sure that every last watt from my transceiver or transmitter is getting to that antenna. And the easiest way to do that is to get the right piece of coax with the least amount of loss, as Greg said. And I think, Greg, you're right. You're pretty close on those numbers. I can't remember, but I know it's in that 0.6-something range. But that's what the name of the game is. You can have the best set in the world, but if your antenna is nothing, you're not going to get anywhere. You can have a mediocre antenna, a great feed line, and work the world 17 times over because you're that much more efficient. Greg, to you, KC2OLA.
Okay, I'm at the work location. I have to sign. But, yeah, I'll see what I end up using. If I don't, I would give it to you. Because after, I'll see if I don't end up using it. It's just that I may be putting a few rigs down there, so I may end up needing it. I'll see what happens. And, but I do have three 50-foot rolls. I coupled two of them together recently. And, you know, with that little coupler piece. But I don't know if that's really a good way to do it. So I'm thinking of just changing one out. So if I change it out, it's only been out there for about 2 weeks. So if I change it out, I'll give you one of them, that's all, you know. And maybe I'll give you both of them. Maybe that'll help you. But, all right, let me get into work. And N2 Alpha Sierra Sierra, be out. I'll catch you guys later.
All right, there, Greg. 73 to you. And what I was figuring was that the losses wouldn't be that substantial, but I did not take into account the reflected power back. I have a SWR meter that has two screens. One screen reflected power back. Now I'm getting four on the reflected power back and something else on my SWR. I don't remember. Three, I think. So that would mean my match is 3 to 4. Let me know if that's correct. And how would I bring that down? By trimming my ground planes, or trimming the actual, what is it called? The antenna piece. I forget what it's called. Oh, I'll lay over to you. KC2TJC.
T2TJC, KC2OLA. Yeah, without being in front of your radio, and seeing exactly what you have, I would not be able to give you any hint. Maybe Dick, K2RIW, could tell you, you know, to the millimeter what piece of aluminum you'd have to trim or whatever, but I wouldn't have a clue of where to start without being there and looking at exactly what's going on there. But now, are you on the base station or the home QTH with the ground plane in the evenings?
That's half the problem. I'm on very, very infrequently. And basically when the kids aren't there, I try to tinker with it. I finally assembled it, and I did a reading on it the other day. And I was able to get out, because someone did tell me that they couldn't hear me, and I assume it was me. So I was able to get out, but not be heard. And that's when I took a look at the SWR meter. So I actually have the measurements. I have to double check them. But it's just copper wire 10, and it's on an SO239 plug. So it's a very, it's one of the entry level homebrew 2 meter antennas. And I'm just wondering if I have to trim the reflector or trim the ground plane to correct my SWR.
I believe that you're going to have to trim the director, that long piece of copper wire. You're going to have to cut it to the exact length that's needed, and then figure in the coax into that, since you're not using a tuner, correct?
No, no tuner. It's just the radio I was experimenting with is not a good radio. It's a old Radio Shack 2 meter. And whatchamacallit, it only has 25 watts, and I was running a piece of coax that was less than 10 feet. It was from, I think, an old antenna, one of those glass mount antennas that you glue or tape to one side, and then you glue on the other side of the back shield,
or your side glass on the car, but I didn't use that end. I cut it off and I put on a regular 239 end. So that's pretty much it. In between, of course, is SWR meter, and it only has two wattage settings. One wattage setting is for 10 watts, and the other wattage setting is for 100 watts. Since I believe low power is 15 on that, it's set it to 100. So I'm not even sure if I'm getting a correct reading myself.
Yeah, I'd be betting that you'd have to be trimming that copper wire. But I'd have to look in the antenna book and see what the actual length of copper wire for 2 meters would be. But there's no reason why it shouldn't work. But it might give off a lot of RFI also.
I missed a little bit of what you said, but I'm also underneath the L. I think it's 19 and 5/8. So I'm supposed to trim it at. And I believe I'm at 19 and 5/8 within a error of 10%. I would say. So I'm actually pretty close, if not slightly over, on the measurement. KC2TJC, KC2OLA.
This is KC2OLA from the eastern input, and continuing to motor into the sun, which is extremely difficult this morning. It's hit me right square in the face. But it's a good feeling. Yeah, I guess you're going to still have to play around with it. It's too bad you don't have an antenna analyzer or someone that lives near you to have an antenna analyzer, because then you would know basically what the match is and everything else right away with the antenna analyzer. But hey, at least you're playing. That's the name of the game. That's why it's a hobby. KC2OLA, over to you, JC.
Yeah, I think that's what it's all about. At least that's the blood of the hobby, which is experiment and see what you can do for yourself, rather than just buy it and use somebody else's word for it. Although it is easier, but I think doing it yourself gives you more satisfaction. I just hope to never get the magic smoke, though. Over to you.
Hey, you never want to get the magic smoke. You know, once the magic smoke comes out, big problems exist. So you want to just make sure that that magic smoke stays right where it has to be. But other than that, and the issue that you're having in the mobile is definitely a PL tone that's not on. You know, because if you're using it right now on this side, this half of the frequency, then there should be no reason, just on a flip, that you can't get out on 4.
WP2R, WZ Mobile, listening.
Good morning, WA2CDL Mobile. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Andy. How are you, sir? I'm doing fine. A little cold this morning, but I'm a little late to start, too. Maybe off to the funny farm. Still trying to get rid of a cold.
I know. This weather is hot, cold, warm. April's like that. Now stand by just one second. Just getting onto the parkway. All right, I made it. Yeah, I'm heading over to my new job. I start a new job today. It's always exciting when you start a job and you don't know everyone and you don't even know what you're going to be doing. That's even better. It's interesting. It's scary because you don't know what's going to happen. But like anything else, you kind of like fall into things.
Yes. What happened to the other job? You left that or you just got another interesting job?
I left the other one. The other one was temporary. Just to hold me. I was waiting for this one. This one I applied for way back, but it took literally months for them to bring me on board. You know, internal stuff. So they finally did, so I left the other one. Which I can always go back to. But I was on the other one for 3 weeks. 3 weeks? Yeah. I'm asking myself. 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Something like that. You know, time just goes by. And like anything else, you just you go from one thing to another. Normally when I take a job, I stay with it for a long time. I mean, I've had jobs lasting 15, 20 years. And my last job, well, I was there 7 years. And once you're there, as you know, a while, you know, you become you're more or less you can charge your employees. Take care of what you got to take care of. So this job will turn out to be the same thing. Since I'm pretty good at figuring things out on my own, that's one of my strong points. I even though there's training, I don't need 100% training because I can figure things out, which is good.
Okay. And also, I think if you remember right, you retired from the police department. You worked at a communications branch or one of the state agencies, city agencies. Oh, well, I know the feeling well. I've been through a number of jobs. Right now, this is supposed to be a part-time year. 5 years later, full-time.
Well, that's what happens when you're good. You stay with what you get used to. And if they see your performance, they say, well, you know, we need this guy. You know, it's interesting because the old job that I left from, or I shouldn't say left, they laid off from, you know, that's going to come back eventually because that project is not completed, and I was in the middle of that, so we'll see what happens. But that'll be interesting when they're doing that. And that project, I know like the back of my hand because I've been working on it so long. So... You ever have a situation where you left a job and then you were called back to it? And if you call back, you're pretty comfortable because you already know where you left off. And you know everything. You don't have to learn again.
Really, I did some consulting work for a company I used to work for, so it's basically almost the same thing, but it was a little different profile. Yeah, well, I like to tinker and stuff with electronics, and I don't do that anymore. Manage parts for aircraft, which I like anyway. Keeps you out of trouble. You can only do so many things when you get older. And so, Andy, what's going on with the repeater? Anything important?
Not really. Right now, everything's working. I hope. Except it's not IDing properly. Sometimes it's doing its own thing. Yeah, there's always these software glitches. And that's the only thing I don't like about software is, since software is taking control of everything, if you have a problem with something and it's software based, sometimes you got to make the distinction between if it's software based or if it's hardware based. And then once you figure that out, if it is software, then you got to figure out what's wrong with the software. And sometimes that's harder. Because if a program is already written and installed, and you have no way to see it, you got to go by sort of feel. So, unless you use you know, special equipment to look at devices like a signature analyzer, as an example. But that becomes a little bit tricky. And sometimes it can be more time-consuming than it's worth. You know, nowadays, even components are so small. If you have $30,000 to spend on equipment just to remove and resolder components, you could do that on a large scale. But on a piecemeal kind of thing, it's not worth it. Sometimes...
Why isn't there self-diagnostics on the software that you can turn around and, you know, descriptive problems? But, yes, I understand. Also, too, is I just don't like having software around RF. There's to be too many problems with that one. Get whatever shilly you do, you still have a problem with RF. Andy?
Yeah, they make these special probes which... measure the radiation from some of these devices also, see how much they're emitting. And if they're not well shielded, RF can do a lot of crazy things. You know, as an experiment, I have a power supply. That's an ordinary cheap supply. Oops, I gotta get over here. I don't wanna get on this load. I'm taking a different route. And as an experiment, what I did was, took my handy talkie and just placed the rubber duck near the power supply to see how susceptible it is to RF. And as soon as I keyed the radio, the power supply shut down. The 12 volt stopped, and the meter on it, started going down to zero, and the only way to fix that is to turn the supply off, let it discharge, and then turn it back on again, and it would work. So there's a case where RF was shutting it down. Not well shielded.
CQXI, good morning.
Bob recognized when you get a bypass on to Andy. I remember, must have been, what was it, probably in the 80s, I was down at Dayton. It was in the Ford Pavilion, and they were showing how you mount antennas, and they were talking about what happened in Arizona or someplace like that, or Nevada. Yeah, I used to have a rig, put out 50 watts, put it in the front of the thing, and it was driving 25 watts just fine. They were chasing an individual out of town, and the guy upped it to 50 watts, and as soon as he triggered that, the car died and stopped. Whoops, never mind. A little shielding around that would certainly work.